Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, real quickly here, I am seeing some breaking news from the New York Times. Donald Trump said he would reveal his running mate today on the first day of the Republican National Convention. Just got that news alert in just a few minutes ago. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Good to be with you here on this Monday morning. Obviously, we're going to have the phone lines open for you, and I know there's a lot of you that are going to want to weigh in with your reactions, your questions, your shock, your outrage, you name it. Yesterday afternoon, I got a message from a friend of mine in Helena, Montana. Jason Walker is a sportscaster in Helena, and he has the Jason Walker Show. He's got an app available out there as well. But, you know, even though he mostly covers sports, he said, "Hey, Aaron, would you want to join me to talk about your reaction to the news about this assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump?" And I'll just share this quick little portion because I think it kind of summed up my initial reactions to the news.
All right, Aaron, all of us witnessed what happened yesterday. Your initial thoughts some 24 hours later as you look back?
Yeah, man, still trying to process it all. I mean, just watching it all happen Saturday night, it was one of my kids that actually first alerted me to the news. And, you know, the first thoughts were just first were, you know, pray for President Trump, pray for our country. And then watching the video, I mean, I got to say I was shocked just at seeing it, but then not shocked at the same time, because we've all seen what's been building up in this country. And I mean, you know, now kind of 24 hours later, I'm looking at, you know, this attempted assassination of President Donald J. Trump. But I mean, let's be honest. They've been trying a political assassination against this guy on a number of different fronts. I mean, the way he has been treated has just been abhorrent. And I'm glad to see, you know, everybody across the political spectrum, and for the most part, you know, condemning this use of violence and, you know, wishing the best for President Trump. But it's like they should have condemned a lot of this other, you know, political assassination attempts on President Trump over these past few years as well, if you ask me. I mean, it's just the way we have gone outside of every single norm in this country, I think, is the reason why this is shocking for people to see, but yet not surprising for people to see at the same time.
All right. So that was just a part of our conversation, but we're going to get to your thoughts, your reactions, and much more. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970, or you can also message us on our Montana Talks app as well. But as I mentioned, the New York Times reporting that President Trump will announce his running mate today at the Republican National Convention, which is getting underway in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. One of the headliner speakers at the Republican National Convention is going to be Montana U.S. Senate candidate and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. He also worked on presidential security when he was a Navy SEAL. He's on the phone lines with us right now. We're going to get his reaction to all this news, the convention, and more. He's first up on the phone lines right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Mike in Missoula, stand by. You'll be first up when we get into the phone lines once again here in just a few minutes, 406-294-0970. But first, we do have Montana U.S. Senate candidate and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy on the phone lines with us. He will be one of the headline speakers at the Republican National Convention tomorrow night, as I understand it. Tim, thanks for being with us on this Monday. Shocked but not surprised was, I think, the way to sum up my reaction. I don't know. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
I mean, we have to save this country, and obviously what we saw this weekend was historic. It was a historic tragedy, of course. And I heard it happen live. I was actually over south of Billings, branding on Turk Stovall's ranch, a friend of mine and business partner of mine, and was driving north off the res there and was listening on XM radio and heard this happen live. And as soon as I heard those cracks over the radio, I knew exactly what was going on. And obviously, thank God he made it out alive. Thoughts and prayers with Corey Comparatore, his family, the firefighter who was killed protecting his family. And, of course, thoughts and prayers with the law enforcement. You know, there's a lot of online vitriol going on right now against our law enforcement. Certainly mistakes were made. Investigations will happen. You know, those who did, you know, screw up will be held accountable. But, you know, it's a very tough job protecting a principal like that. And, you know, let's let the investigation unfold before we jump to conclusions here because, like I said, it's a tough job that Secret Service has to do, and they usually don't have all the resources they need to do it right.
Well, and even if they have the resources, how were the resources allocated, right? You know, did they shift resources away from President Trump over somewhere else? So do I understand right? You actually did some presidential security detail missions in your time as a Navy SEAL. What I guess talk a little bit about that, some of the considerations.
Yeah, so PSD, Personnel Security Detail, is a mission for the Navy SEAL. That's one thing we do. And Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, one of the more famous life-saving PSD incidents was when we had the SEALs protecting him. It was really an amazing event that they saved his life. They saw the attack coming, and unlike this time, you know, they took out the attacker before any shots were fired. In Iraq, we did a lot of this. And anytime the president leaves the contiguous 48 states, he gets a SEAL team or an Army Special Operations team attached to him to assist with that security. So I helped with Vice Presidential Security in Iraq, also with President Obama's security when he visited Hawaii. And, you know, what a lot of folks don't realize is the Secret Service is the principal agency responsible for close protection. But whenever they go around the country and around the world, most of that protective detail is actually syndicated to local police, sheriff's departments, state police. It's kind of almost a potluck of who's available to help. And the Secret Service, you know, they only have, you know, a handful of agents that really are protecting the president. And then when you talk about rooftops of buildings, local areas around the venue site, those are normally farmed out to local law enforcement to secure those. And the Secret Service is coordinating that. But ultimately, it could be local PD, sheriff's departments, and state police that have to pick up that security. And, you know, when it's private property, sometimes you know, you got to get the permission of the property owner to be there. It's a little tougher than one would think. They don't just get to show up and own everything. And especially when you're dealing with not the current sitting president. The sitting president kind of has, you know, the whole football team there with him. When you look at former presidents, you have to remember Secret Service protects all the former presidents and their families, presidential candidates and their families, foreign dignitaries and their families. So they have a lot of people they have to look after. And, you know, everyone in the Secret Service I've known for years has always talked about how frustrating it is. Kind of like a lot of our bureaucracies, you got a lot of really good people stuck in really frustrating bureaucracies that make it harder for them to do their mission. So I think we're going to see some of that come out in this investigation. We're going to see a lot of the frustration with lack of use of a lot of modern technologies and tactics that frankly, you know, government agencies aren't always the best at adopting those latest capabilities and putting them on the front line.
So when I was in Ramadi, Iraq, 0506, we had an incredible LRS detachment that was our snipers on the ground. And so I'm no sniper. I served with some incredible ones, but I'm no sniper. I'm no Secret Service guy. But just the fact that this roof was not only unsecured by friendly forces, but that somebody was able to get on a rooftop less than 200 feet or 200 yards from a former president of the United States is just beyond belief to so many folks. And that's why an investigation, of course, you know, hopefully we can, you know, trust whoever handles this investigation. But big picture, obviously, the dangerous rhetoric needs to be tampered down. I mean, you know, like the calling for a bullseye being on Donald Trump's back. But I'm also one of those who believes that rhetoric did not cause this. Actions and inaction caused this. I mean, how many different norms have been violated going after Donald J. Trump? That's why it's no surprise that this norm was violated as well.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the escalation of the rhetoric and the escalation of the tactics used to go after political opponents is something we haven't seen, you know, at least several generations right now in America. And luckily today, as you probably saw just this morning, you know, the classified documents case was dismissed against Trump. You know, so not only did he survive by the grace of God an assassination attempt, now we're seeing a lot of that lawfare is being overturned as well. You know, these tactics, you know, it's anything anything goes right now in American politics. And I think it's time, you know, we have to reset and realize that at the end of the day, we're all Americans. We have to save this country. But this kind of rhetoric and this kind of tactics that we're seeing, whether it's lawfare, whether it's actual, you know, violence, you know, on our streets, you know, it's got to stop. And President Trump, as you correctly pointed out, has been the single biggest recipient of this kind of just vitriol for the past 10 years. I mean, since he came down that golden escalator in 2015, you know, we have seen an escalation in political rhetoric and tactics, the likes of which, you know, we haven't seen in generations here. So you're absolutely right. I mean, this did not happen, you know, as an isolated incident out of the blue. This was the buildup and the culmination of years and years of poisonous rhetoric.
Some might say Tucker Carlson predicted it, because they've thrown everything else they can at him, and they have failed. He's dodged every other figurative bullet, and now this. Tim, if you can, quick break. I want to get your take on what your message will be before the RNC, if you're able to stick around, and then we'll get into the phone lines right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get right into your phone calls here very quickly, I promise. But I'd be neglectful if I didn't ask Tim Sheehy a little bit of a preview of his remarks. I did see the Washington Times published a list of the headliner speakers at the Republican National Convention underway this week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. President Trump did not change his schedule after being shot and surviving this assassination attempt. Once again, demonstrated his strength and his resilience to make America great again. Tim, tell us a little bit about what you plan to talk about tomorrow night at the RNC.
Talking about common sense, Aaron, I mean, I'm an optimist at my core. I really am. You know, you don't jump out of planes at night in enemy territory or start a business in your barn if you're not an optimist. And I am an optimist. I really believe America's best days are ahead. But, you know, as Ronald Reagan said, you know, that's not guaranteed. It's not passed to us in the bloodstream. We have to fight for it. You know, and we have to recognize what's at stake. And common sense, frankly, is what's at stake. You know, more and more Americans are looking around and saying, you know, why are we sending billions of dollars overseas when our country is crumbling? Why are we securing other countries' borders when our border is wide open? Why are we subsidizing billions of dollars of solar panels and wind power when our gas prices are twice, three times what they should be? So, you know, Montanans, what I've heard over the last year at all 56 counties, Montanans want common sense back. And what does that mean to most Montanans? It means they want a secure border, safe streets, good schools, cheap gas, cops are good, criminals are bad, boys are boys, girls are girls. And we're going to be hammering that home that we have to bring common sense back to our government. Our elected officials have to be working for us. We pay their salary. We expect them to do what's right for us, for our children, and for our country.
All right. Well, Tim, prayers of safety for you and all the convention attendees, and frankly, all candidates and elected officials on both sides of the aisle. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for your support, Aaron.
All right. Yeah, great to hear. Oh, and by the way, also, please send a big thank you out to your friends and your colleagues at Bridger Aerospace. I know they've had their super scoopers in the air helping to fight fires here in Montana. And as we found out last week, once again, very dangerous work that these men and women are doing. Tim Sheehy, great to have you on the program. All right, let's get into your phone calls here. We've got Mike in Missoula next up, listening to KMPT, The Patriot. Mike, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate the time. First of all, I didn't realize that Tim was going to be on this morning. I met Tim last Monday when he was in Missoula. I always like to meet our presidential, or I'm sorry, our candidates, no matter who they are, statewide.
Yeah.
And it was great to sit and listen to him. His presence was extremely good. And I'm going to say to anyone out there that knows after this weekend what President Trump went through, how important it is to take the House back and to take the Senate. If you don't vote for Tim Sheehy, you're out of your minds.
Case in point, can I just say one thing, and then we'll get back to the point of your call. Case in point, look at this fire burning north of Helena right now. Kendall Cotton with the Frontier Institute just sent this out via X.com. The very land that is burning in the Horse Gulch fire right now, There was a treatment plan ready and underway to treat the fuels on the ground, to have a timber project in that area so that there's less of a fire risk. Well, the radical environmental groups filed a lawsuit and put a lengthy delay on that very project. And now we're seeing that area go up in smoke and creating more of a threat to we the people. And look, that's why this Senate race is so important. Who do you think puts these judges on the bench? Senators do. And when you have a senator like John Tester, who's in the back pocket of the radical environmentalists, he puts judges on there that are in the back pocket of the radical environmentalists. So sorry for the quick distraction there, but it's an important issue, of course. So what was the main reason you wanted to call in?
So Tim said common sense. I think that's what we have to all think about. I called about two things, but there are three things that actually happened this morning that I'm not sure that everybody is aware about. Okay, first of all, I think that a lot of people know that Judge Eileen Cannon dismissed the case, the documents case against Trump down in Florida this morning.
Yeah.
And she did that based on a technicality, okay, that Jack Smith was not properly appointed. I don't know what that means in the future, but that case is dead going forward right now, at least until the election. The second thing that I noticed this morning was that an ex-reporter from here in Missoula who went to Seattle after she was terminated from her position here because she was brought up on charges of theft, issued a tweet on X that said, "Make America AIM again."
Yeah, and there were a lot of people sharing that same type of outrageous commentary. Yeah.
Incredible stuff. And then finally, I was unaware of this, but I tuned into MSNBC, which I don't watch very much, but I tuned in this morning to see what Morning Joe program would have to say. I don't know if anybody knows this, but MSNBC polled Morning Joe this morning. Now, I think they just polled it for the day, but they polled it. And I think that is a clear indication that even MSNBC and NBC Network recognizes the culpability they had in the attack on President Trump over the weekend. So those are the things I wanted to share.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, I hadn't heard of either of those stories yet because I'm in the middle of doing the show and preparing for the show. And so, thankfully, Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app about both of those stories. But yeah, MSNBC, why did they pull Morning Joe from the airwaves this morning? Because they knew, those guys, that the temptation to say something stupid, the temptation to say something vile, the temptation to say something outrageous was too strong, was too much. And culpability is another interesting question there, too, because that's my broader point here is, look, rhetoric is not fundamentally to blame. What is rhetoric? Rhetoric is speech. Rhetoric is words. Rhetoric is our free speech rights. It's our First Amendment rights. They're trying to use an assassination attempt on Donald Trump to take away the First Amendment and then to take away guns and to take away the Second Amendment. Rhetoric is not to blame here. The actions and the inaction by security is to blame. The actions are every action they have taken to violate every single norm in this country, to weaponize this government against their chief political opponent, Donald J. Trump. And they violated every other norm. Oh, but now they feign shock and concern and outrage that another norm was violated once again.
Incredible stuff.
Hey, by the way, so that former Missoula reporter, she was actually, I think, based out of Helena. She was the state capitol reporter, the state political reporter for the Montana Television Network, which is, you know, for most of the past few decades, has had an incredible reputation. This reporter, we all knew she was a biased liberal since day one of her reporting. She was constantly writing news coverage that favored the radical leftist Supreme Court Justice Ingrid Gustafson. She was running false reports against James Brown, who was the more, you know, fair Supreme Court candidate at the time. So we knew she was a biased leftist. Well, then she gets busted for, you know, on burglary charges in Missoula. Now, I will tell you openly on this show, I reported that news, but you know, she came to us and repeatedly, and once charges were dismissed, we agreed to her request to remove her mugshot from our website. We kept the story there, though, because it's important that this. But you know what? We said, okay, charges were dismissed. They went soft on, you know, whatever. Okay, we'll remove the mugshot. That just seems like the fair, nice thing, the kind thing to do, right? The fair thing to do. And she gets a second chance, and she still gets a job with some news outlet. And now this. So, you know, you'd think after getting a second chance that you would, I don't know, maybe be a little more humble, maybe a little bit, a little more kind to others as well, but apparently not.
Hey, listen, Aaron, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate your time. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for waiting on the phone lines. Let's go next to Sean in Libby. And by the way, we've just now freed up some phone lines for you, 406-294-0970. Sean, what's going on?
First of all, I want to say God bless Trump and his family for what they've been going through. It's ridiculous. And, boy, talking about resilience and being tough. So here's Biden with a sniffling cold, complaining that he can't speak and he's, you can't speak on the podium. And here's Trump getting shot. He's down, but he's trying to stand back up, raising a fist, go fight, fight, fight. Well, you tell me who's the better leader. I mean, this is ridiculous. That's point number one. Point number two, this whole thing about allowing these immigrants across the border so that they get the Democratic vote is going to backfire, because a lot of these people are coming from oppressed countries where their leaders have been attempted to be assassinated against and try to be pushed out of office, and they recognize the similarity there. And I'm hoping these immigrants, vote for Trump and realize that they are, that is their hero. It's not Biden with all his lies. It's Trump who's suffering through all of this, and these immigrants who've suffered themselves going through similar political situations in their own country recognize this, and I hope they and I pray that they move over to Trump and vote for him. That's all I have to say.
Pray is the key word, much like we saw Saturday afternoon. Divine intervention, providential is how former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich described it. No matter which side of the aisle you are on, pray for the future of this country and pray for our elected officials and those candidates and whatever. And yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, we've had so many illegal aliens break into this country. I think you're right. Some of them are good people fleeing bad situations. And I think they probably have more family values, more values for freedom than some of these wacky white liberals that are protesting on college campuses in support of Hamas. But we also know there's been some very bad people come into this country, rapists, murderers, slaughtering innocent women on our own soil. How many terrorists have broken into this country? That's why, again, we talk about it a lot. Not enough. How many people actually do it? Pray for this country and pray for her leaders and those seeking to be elected officials. Thanks for the call, Sean. 294-0970, the number for you.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA released its latest World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report, and the wheat outlook here in the U.S. is for larger supplies, domestic use, exports, and ending stocks. Ending stocks are predicted at 856 million bushels. That's the highest in 5 years, while the season average price for U.S. wheat is down 80 cents in this month's report at $5.70. We'll look at the corn next.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today. The website, ncba.org.
With USDA's latest World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report, it shows larger supplies, greater domestic use and exports, and lower ending stocks for corn this month. Corn production is forecast up by 240 million bushels on greater planted and harvested area from the June acreage report. Yield is unchanged at 181 bushels an acre, while the season average farm gate price is down 10 cents to $4.30 a bushel for corn. I'm Wayne Northline.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when this Tucker Carlson soundbite first aired. Let me go into my show audio folder here for just a second. Because Tucker Carlson basically predicted something like this happening. Let's see. Tucker Carlson, I think he was on the Adam Carolla show. This was nearly a year ago. Man, I thought this was just a few months ago. This was in August of last year, August of 2023. Tucker Carlson was on, I think, the Adam Carolla show, and he had this to say nearly 1 year ago now.
They called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times. And every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work. What's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously, and no one will say that, but I don't know how you can reach that conclusion. You know what I mean? Like, they have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have it.
All right, yeah, that was nearly a year ago Tucker Carlson had that to say. By the way, just got a message from Shane in East Helena. This came in on our Montana Talks app. Good point here by Shane in East Helena. Good morning, Aaron. Just checking in. I wanted to remind everyone that our future president was nearly assassinated and still no violence from the right and no cities have been burned. Have a great day. It's a good reminder from Shane in East Helena, isn't it? Remember all those cities that burned by the BLM rioters and the Antifa activists on the left that were treated like, many of which were treated like heroes by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the rest of them. Before I get back to your phone calls here, this was another question that Jason Walker threw my way last night on his Jason Walker Show podcast.
Jen Psaki said Sunday that the convention needs to change its speakers and change its tone. What do you say to someone like that, that, you know, she is as a big a part of the rhetoric from the other side as anybody?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. When have they ever changed their rhetoric? No, I think Donald Trump was exactly right, figuratively speaking, when he got up and he said, fight, fight, fight. Our side needs to continue to fight for freedom and fight for our constitutional principles and all the way through November. And we will not be silenced. And they don't get to take shots at this man, literally and figuratively, and tell the rest of us to shut up. We've had the shut up and wear your mask argument now for too long. It's time to stand up for what this country is all about. And they want to silence us ahead of November. But back to your thing, you know, I fear not only for attacks against our side, which we've already been seeing for several years here. I also have concerns about their side and how bloody Chicago may get because of their radical left-wing activists. I mean, we were already fearing another violent summer of Chicago like a previous Democrat convention a few decades ago. And look at, you know, their embrace of these Hamas terrorists and apologizing for and taking the side of the wackos in the Gaza Strip that committed the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. That's the people that's going to show up at their convention in Chicago. And on top of their, you know, the people that apologized or took part in the BLM riots and burned down black owned businesses. And I think there are enemies of this country that want nothing more than to spark a civil war. And, but by the grace of God, President Trump survived that attempt. But, I think conservatives in this country and you know, constitution loving American citizens are going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep going to work, paying the bills. Uh, and, uh, and be even more focused on November and taking this country back from all this insanity.
All right. Yeah. And thanks to Jason Walker for letting me share that audio. All right. Into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Bob in Columbia Falls, thanks for the call and for listening to KJJR. Bob, what's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning, sir. It's been quite some time since I've called in. I'd like to make two simple interpretations of the word unity. On the Democrat side, it means that everyone will come into their philosophy of governing, and that eventually that it will lead to all people under one control with no two-party system. That's their idea of unity. On the Republican side, it means going back to you can never go back to a certain year, but you can go back to a philosophy of a simple year. And that was during the 50s and early 60s when I was in the military. I'm an old guy. But having said that, I think that Trump believes that we can get back to something similar where we are still a two-party system, but we're talking to each other and not yelling at each other. That's all I have to say, sir.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, great to hear from you. You know, and thankfully we still get to do that. You know, for the most part here in Montana, it's like that's what I love about this show is, you know, we have callers who call in and disagree, and sometimes, you know, call in with a heated disagreement. And that's okay. We can have disagreements, but, and we can talk through those disagreements. And but, you know, but the other thing is, you know, getting out of the studio and traveling all across Montana, I get to meet some of those very same, you know, listeners that I just mentioned who will call onto the show from time to time. And it's always a joy to meet them in person. At least I hope that's mutual, at least anyway. But, you know, I always find that they're very kind in person. And we might disagree on some of this stuff, but we aren't disagreeable in person. And we still look at each other as neighbors. It's just another reason why I think we're so lucky to be here in Montana, in particular, during crazy times like these. Let's see. Owen and Bozeman sent us a message. The left looks to be going after the right to peacefully assemble as well. There was a commentator on Scripps News shortly after the assassination attempt commenting that the MAGA rallies are too large and need to be restricted to smaller groups and indoor only. Yeah, isn't it interesting how they take a failure of security, apparently, here, and they take everything that they've done to Donald Trump to somehow say, well, we need to shut down these Trump rallies. Well, you know, you people need to cool your rhetoric. Well, you know, we need to take your guns away because this whole thing about, well, it's the rhetoric is to blame. Rhetoric is to blame. Well, if the rhetoric is to blame, why is Pearl Jam being allowed to hold a concert on the University of Montana campus this year? Remember when Pearl Jam had a poster featuring a dead Donald Trump on their John Tester poster? Why is Pearl Jam allowed? I mean, if rhetoric is to blame, right? And by the way, hat tip to Paul Mushaven for mentioning that story earlier this morning. I had forgotten about that one. All right, let's see. But the point I quickly wanted to make here is that it's so reminiscent of the COVID scam when they were telling you, just shut up and wear your masks, shut down your schools, shut down your hospitals, you know, muzzle you with masks that didn't work, force the shot on people that posed a risk to younger people. And then after they got exposed, they said, oh, well, it's just time for forgiveness. Just need to move on. Now they're trying to say, oh, no, it's just time for all of you to shut up. No, you don't get to talk about the fact that our country is on the brink of World War III. You don't get to talk about the economic harm that's been caused in the last 3 to 4 years. You don't get to talk about all the terrorists crossing our southern borders. Just shut up and wear your masks all over again. Mark in Roundup. Mark, what's on your mind?
Well, a little bit of things, I'd say. I was just going to comment that Chris earlier talked about how our nation's foundations have been broken over the...
It sounds like you're losing cell coverage there in Roundup. Did you hit the mute button by accident there, Mark? All right, must have hit the mute button there. I'm not hearing you unless I bumped a button with my knee. All right, well, we got a quick break here. We'll check in with you there, Mark. I'll throw you back on hold so we can check in with you and see if your call is still up and running there. But I know how that cell coverage can be there, depending on where you're at, around the Bull Mountains or something like that. You know, it's funny. I never had those cell phone problems in Iraq or Afghanistan. Man, those people, they didn't even have electricity, but boy, they somehow had cell phones. Oh, man, and better cell phone signals than we get in parts of Montana from time to time. But don't worry, Ukraine got a lot of your money. They've got drag queen story hours in Ecuador paid for with your money, but, you know, water on the High Line, cell phone service and Roundup, eh.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That was interesting. Speaker of the House News, Newt Gingrich. My wife Jessica and I were watching him on Hannity on Saturday night, and he just described it as providential. A providential moment. If Trump had not turned this way or had turned that way or had stayed looking straight ahead, the bullet would have hit him. And he just came literally within less than a quarter of an inch from being killed. And so Speaker Gingrich, with tears still in his eyes after seeing his friend of 30 years get shot live on national TV, talked about this providential moment. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. I think we've got Mark in Roundup. He's got good cell coverage now, I think. So, yeah, Mark, what did you want to share?
Well, I wanted to share that Chris talked about how our foundations have been eroded, and they've probably been really eroded since LBJ replaced JFK after they killed him. In any case, the problem is that the big federal government has risen up to take the place of those foundations. So I would like to encourage Tim Sheehy, Zinke, and Troy Downing, all of them, to come to grips with the fact that we need to cut the size of this government. Whole departments, you know, education, commerce, and even the military, because when we have more admirals than we have boats in our Navy, we need to reevaluate how that goes. I'm for the military, but I think there's waste everywhere in government, and this thing's got to come down to size so that we can get out from under our debt. It's the only way.
Well, I think the military has unfortunately been scaled back dramatically as percentage of our GDP, dramatic. But I do think you'd hear agreement from – I've heard Tim Sheehy talk about cutting the Department of Education and other outrageousness in our federal government, and you're right there. But I think – you know, I think our military, we need a strong military, peace through strength. But when it comes to having too many flag officers and too many general officers, amen to that one. Far too many general officers and flag officers. We need more chiefs and sergeants, if you ask me, and privates and airmen and you name it. But appreciate it. Hey, I got a nice note from our friend Jared in Anaconda. He's a Democrat, as you know, but great guy, one of those great people I've gotten a chance to meet traveling the state. He says this, you know, I don't like Trump, but that was not right. The people decide. Not a 20-year-old kid that has barely even had time to understand politics. That's what Jared in Anaconda has to say. Let's see. Who do we got next up? Let's go to Ron in Plentywood, listening to KATQ. Ron, thanks for the call.
Yeah, Aaron, concerning this Trump shooting, when are we going to come to the point where we almost have to realize that at least a certain wing of the Democratic Party is all but a terrorist organization? You know, they put out these, you know, things that Trump needs to be eliminated. He needs to be taken out. You know, I often get accused of only getting my news from Fox News, and I'll admit I get most of it from there. I do watch the other networks as much as I can stand them. But they put pundits on there that say that, you know, and the Democratic Party all but supported the BLM movements, you know, over the last two or three years or whatever, when our cities burned. You know, they sat back and watched that and allowed it to happen.
And then Kamala Harris raised money to get bail money for the rioters.
Exactly. I mean, when you just look at it from the outside, Ian, I mean, you would almost think, you know, that they damn near exhibit all the qualities of a terrorist organization, you know?
But there's some really good people that you know in Libby, or not in Libby, you're in Plentywood, our next caller's from Libby. There's some really good people right there in Plentywood that you know that would still describe themselves as Democrats, and they're really good people. They're nothing like some of these folks in the legislature in Helena.
I totally agree. But most of them that I do know, and I voted for them, you know, in local elections, city council, and in county commissioners and stuff. But they're the old Democrats from back in the JFK days. These are 75, 80-year-old people that will tell you flat out they do not agree with all these woke policies and stuff, but yet still vote Democrat, you know.
And they're not the people that John Tester listens to. They're not the people John Tester. He's listening to Zoe Zephyr in Missoula and the other crazies in the I-15, I-90 corridor. He doesn't care what the folks out in Plentywood and Scobie have to say.
I called Tester's office last week in D.C., and I said, you know, he'd be easy to vote for being a Montana boy with how he supports farmers and veterans. I said, but the few woke policies and, you know, and the national stuff that he supports, like the open border, I said, I cannot just get past that.
And then you talk to the actual veterans, and they tell you how John Tester is actually screwing up the VA, right? He's just a fraud. He's a phony. Hey, Ron, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Sorry to cut it a little short. We got a lot more callers on the phone lines and not much time. Mike in Libby, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You know, it's hard to come to grips with making peace with people who want to bite you dead. And there's a lot of people in the Democrat Party that would just as soon see us conservatives dead as living and voting. So I'm not going to tone down my rhetoric until I see some change on the other side.
Well, I mean, that's my point. They want you to be silenced now. Look, you don't get to put this country on the brink of World War III. You don't get to bankrupt this country and bankrupt working class people and flood the country with illegal aliens and then tell the rest of us to shut up after some, anti-Trump wacko just took a shot at and hit the former president.
Exactly.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for the call. Sounds like you said your piece. Appreciate the phone call. We are out of time for today, but appreciate everybody calling in. Great to hear from Tim Sheehy at the top of the hour. And, what else to say? Pray for President Trump. Pray for our country. Pray for all of our elected officials and those seeking elected office as well. Thanks for being with us. God, we'll have more time for your calls tomorrow on the program.